Hello, everybody, and welcome to Island Music Chat. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking to Kai DeVere, Tobago-based Trinbegonian Caribbean singer. You'll hear an English accent, but we'll talk about that too. She's a marvel, and I've heard her perform, and you're going to hear her perform greatly, greatly coming up in the future. So tell me, Kai, tell me about your new record, because I understand you're recording right now.
First of all, can you introduce me every time?
I will definitely introduce you.
Because that was pretty major.
I try my best.
What was the question?
The question is, I understand that you're making a new record now.
Yeah.
Tell me what you can about this new record that you're doing.
So it's not just a one record, we're working on an EP. Mm-hmm. It should be my first EP, so it's a body of music, mm-hmm. maybe 6, 7, 8 songs. And the idea is to create as many songs as possible so that we can build a catalog and then go back in and say, okay, this best represents, you know, where we're heading. And so we're in the process right now of making that music. So some of these songs you would have heard at this show, both the showcase and the
jazz. Yes, there's a showcase that happened in Trinidad, but Podos had a showcase back in, what was that, November or something, yeah. So. And more recently, I heard you perform in Tobago on the beach, Beachfront Jazz. You kind of upskipped the show and blew me away at least. I mean, I've heard you perform before, but I know that some of my friends who had never heard you said, well, who is this, right? And I said, oh, trust me, she's going to be a big noise coming out soon. Caribbean people now, we good like that.
The response was really like, I go, well, I'm afraid too, because it's my first show of that kind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I was excited. I was really rough. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know, you know what I mean? And I remember coming off the stage and people were like, well, just take pictures with me and, you know, come and shake my hand and stuff. And it was a really, like, warm feeling to, you know, to get that recognition, for people to be like, because I feel like people there as well, it was obvious. They were aware that I'm new, you know, you could see that. But they were, like, happy, I think, to be able to experience, like.
I know this. I mean, I heard you once, as I said, but I heard it twice now. But a couple of things stuck out for me was you did some covers, but you did a couple of original songs, which kind of blew my mind, because what I heard was, I said, wow, she's called for a song like that, right?
True.
And who are you working with in terms of your production, in terms of your developing of EP? What's the name of your producer?
So Kit Advocate.
Advocate. That's Kit Israel.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I think he mentioned that he'd been doing some arranging and production of those earlier songs and then. But you're developing the song, I'm assuming, to kind of break out of Tobago and break out of the Caribbean.
Yeah, man. And carry the Caribbean with me.
There you go.
So I'm actually known Kip, it's obvious. Mm-hmm. We've always had an interesting connection as far as music goes. Like, we just really bring out something special in each other. And so all these songs that even though I wrote them, he had his two cents too. Like, how they are now is not how I brought them to the studio.
Oh.
You know what I mean? So I bring the idea and thinking, he's like, hey, Mr. Privilege, you know. And yeah, like, we're really onto something. But at the same time, like I was saying off air, that I do look forward to working with different people, with other people. Because I think it's important, you know, just to see what you can bring out of them and vice versa. And it's all adding to my growth, you know, figuring out what this is and where I can go. And you know what I mean?
And we tell me a little bit about your history, because as I said, listeners are going to hear your voice and they're going to detect a slight accent or an accent, full stop.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me a little bit about your history in ten words or less. Where are you from?
Born in England to a British mother and a Trinidadian father.
Trinity born.
Point Fortin. But I grew up in Tobago.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I moved there in 91 and I stayed there till I was 14, whatever, went back to England, but I always identified Tobago as my home. And if anybody asked me where I'm from, I'm from Tobago. Like, I'm not, you know what I mean? Like, it may sound, you know, like it's not the truth, but it is absolutely the truth.
I hear you. But Tobago is your home, and the Caribbean is your space as it is, whether or not you lived in England or whether or not you live anywhere. It's your Caribbean person.
Yeah, it's a non-factor, yeah.
Tell me what makes a Caribbean person so recognizable throughout the world. What is your idea of what Caribbean people are doing or what Caribbean creativity is all about, if you don't mind?
I think we're a very special people. The way that we express ourselves is like none other. You know, you can liken it to other things, but I think we definitely have something different. And for one of my goals, I guess, is to really be able to embody it outside of the typical things that we're known for, because we're so multidimensional. Like, you know what I mean? Like, when you think about Caribbean music, you always think reggae, soca, dance, you know, whatever. But there's so many of us doing all kind of different things, you know, and we need to also be recognized for that. And I feel like Caribbean people, we full of all kind of things. Soul, and you know what I mean? Like, it's just, yeah, we have our own little niche.
Somebody was telling me recently about the idea that as much as the Caribbean is a small place, I mean, to give a little bit of statistics here, 46 million people exist in this thing called, we call the Caribbean, up to Bermuda and the Guyanas and the Southern Belize and Central America. But we speak four languages, plus Creole and Sri Tongo and
Country.
And I think the other thing is that there are only about 6 or 7 million people speak English, but you all have a kind of unique energy that is that dominates. And of course, we've had an impact on the creativity of the world. I think Caribbean people have been important in terms of the genesis of jazz and, of course, new genres, reggae, obviously, reggaeton and that kind of stuff, which has dominated the music space. What would you bring in terms of your history? What do you think is your contribution to this pool of Caribbean creativity? You've lived in England for some years. I'm assuming you started to sing there. You didn't create this voice in one weekend in Tobago.
No, but I started in Tobago. I think I have a unique approach because I am half English, right? As much as it's like Tobago, 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 I cannot ignore the fact that, you know, I grew up in a household with English parents. You know, my dad is from Port Arthur, but he left there when he was 12 and grew up in England when that's now 80. You know, I grew up in a household of English people, my aunts, my uncles, everybody. And of course, living there as well and having the influence of, you know, English music, garage, and, you know, all these different things. I think I have a unique approach for sure. And I think I'm maybe the side that is, I don't want to say hard to accept, but I may be one of those people that are easier. It's easy to digest for the Western world. You know what I mean? Because of that that half type of energy. So I'm able to blend that global sound, you know, and incorporate the foundation is Caribbean influence. And I think
what are your influences in terms of your sound, in terms of who did you listen to when you were growing up in England?
I listened to a lot of Nina Simone and that type of thing, as well as, you know, from my sister, it was Lauryn Hill and Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey, like that type of thing. And then in Tobago, was very dancehall, like very reggae. It also Bob Dylan, and then I had Baris Harman, because my mom's a huge reggae fan. So it really was just like a collective, because as I mentioned, when I went to England, I was already 14, 15. So I'd already started, you know what I mean, doing whatever I was doing in Tobago, you know, around, you know, my people. So it really is like a collective. I mean, definitely moving to England and being exposed to people like Amy Winehouse and Corinne Bain Ray and, you know, those types of people, you know, they definitely had
an impact.
I'm
not going to lie to you. I hear a little bit of Amy's influence.
I get that.
In your singing, right? Mm-hmm. But then again, was garage music and jungle, was that part of your...
Like, yeah, jungle was a little bit before my time.
I'm just calling it woods here.
It was there, but it was just like a little bit before my time, but definitely garage. I'm like UK hip-hop tour. So Solid Crew and Mom Deep. Roll Deep, I think was their name. Like, you know, that type
Storms.
Of...
Storms, yeah, I know the name Storms.
Yeah, Storms, he came after for sure, but Kano, you know, everybody knows now because of Top Boy, you know, they were all... doing their thing, the streets, they were wonderful. So yeah, I think it's just a collective of just like, you know, the new, the this, the that, like, and then just naturally just finding my way, you know. I think looking back, 2020 vision, it's been a really exciting journey, you know, because I started off, you know, if I'm listening to Rihanna, Alicia Keys, whoever, right, and singing songs just like them, you know, and that was my idea of being great. To be able to literally copy exactly like every riff, every, you know, but then finding my own voice, truly thing, I think was, that was a really amazing journey. And so now that I feel like I found my voice, the new journey is to find what that really looks like. You know, what is that using? You know, how do you, working with people that can really bring that out and, you know, figure out how best to do this?
Are you going to be, I wouldn't say insistent, but because you've mentioned the word to people a million more times, you want to make sure that part of your personality is remains a kind of Tobago thing.
Yeah.
In terms of your conversations to producers and possibly record people, how do you make sure that they understand what that is?
By saying it 101 times and reminding them. And she's from Trinidad, no, I'm from Tobago. You know, can you define
what that ambience, that Tobago spirit is for them so that they may recognize, okay, I'm not a clone of some R&B singer from Detroit. I'm something unique.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's innate and the proof is in the pudding. Like, I am literally just who I am. And I don't think anybody that meets me would say, you know, she's like, people say I remind them of Amy Winehouse, but then they would never say, this is for sure a clone. Like, I'm just who I am. Who I am, you know, Tobago really comes through my pores. Like, it just is what it is, right? You are Trinidad, yeah.
Definitely. This new EP that you're producing, are you going to have originals or are you going to have songwriters from the outside contributing?
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully. I look forward to, so far, there's like 5 songs. I don't know if they will make the final cut, but so far, the songs that we have, I have written.
How many songs have you written?
Like in life in general?
Yeah.
That's an interesting question. A lot. Like, I mean, maybe not full songs, but definitely like, you know, a lot of ideas. I look forward to meeting writers and producers. And because that's it, right? Like this whole idea of like being self-made and I get why people would be proud of that, but it's just not really my thing. Like I really enjoy the creative process of like doing it collectively. Like I think it's a beautiful thing. Like, you know, so yeah, I hope that the EP would have, you know, a bunch of people on it.
In terms of I think one of the directions is that producers are looking at is the North American market, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever encountered the North American market in terms of your performances, in terms of any music that you've ever delivered by Jubo?
Yeah.
MySpace or anything, so?
Because it's a very new journey for me. Like this, as I said off air as well, my first podcast, you know, I had my first article the other day, you know, my first jazz was the first stage of its kind.
I hope that moving forward...
Yeah, but you know, up to now, I haven't had those experiences, and I haven't even thought that far. You know, is that crazy?
No, it's not crazy. It's just
my truth. You know,
it's that's what you are. It's not like you're creating. You know, I think one of the things that is be important is that you've admitted you're not a clone of anything that has existed before. You are who you are. Right, and you've lived in 2 spaces, in Tobago and in England, and that has had an impact on your life going forward, and it gets an impact on your vision of what music can be. In terms of what you've done, like you said you had about 5 songs in the EP. Like, what are the themes that you're looking at in terms of those songs? Are they all love songs? Are they what?
I mean, I'm heavily driven by love, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. with life, yeah.
Which you avoided my question, but that's good.
But I also, you know what? Somebody said to me once that some of the easiest songs to write, and that's all, what's the word? It's all a matter of perception, right? But some of the easiest songs to write or your go-to subject is always love. It's like, what else? Right? But I can't deny that I love. And I look forward to finding ways to express myself through that. You know, it's just like beyond, and you know, it just makes you feel whatever you had to feel. I mean, I'm sure, what song can you identify right now? A love song that every time it plays, you know, it reminds you of a time or whatever. I'm sure
there are a few of them. Too. So, well, one of the things that I guess for men, I'm thinking is that, you know, there's always a song that a kind of heartbreak song.
Mm-hmm.
When you're younger,
this
call it Tabanka song, right? This always a Tabanka song. I'm not gonna lie, it is How Deep Is a Love in Chicago if you leave me now. But more recently I was learning to play Lately by Stevie Wonder. I had Chords and Beautiful Chords and I said, I remember learning this song. But you're correct. Love songs are universal.
Yeah.
There's nothing about that. Everybody understands what love is and
it's wonderful.
Understand heartbreak.
Yeah. And worth every heartbreak.
There's a, we'll see. There's a kind of limit to what can happen, but I understand that's what it is. But there's a kind of another aspect of existence here, certainly in the Caribbean, that is a kind of, I wouldn't say defiance, but a kind of pride that suggests that we can describe the world from our perspective. And well, Marley Famous, yes, has a number of those. In addition to his love song, like Trillion Birds, and he has these kind of important songs that define we are and kind of Rasaman Vibration and War and these kind of things. Is that something that you see as part of your, because you're living here, as you said, is it something that you can incorporate in your music writing that may have a potential to open up markets?
And I think the umbrella word is like positivity, right? I always want to be able to have positive songs. And really, I think as much as you want to be yourself, and sometimes you might want to write a song, you know, that's crazy. We were just talking about dancehall and, you know, the different things that they might speak about. But it's also understanding that you have a responsibility too, though, you know. And even though you may be singing just like, you know, Trinidad or whatever dancehall, you know, I understand that you're speaking on it. You are a reflection of your environment. You know, you're speaking about your reality. But at the same time, you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to encourage and inspire and lead your listeners in the right direction. You know, and that's what music also is. It's but it's a difficult conversation because you also want to be able to just be yourself and sing whatever you want to sing and you know, whatever. But I personally have become really passionate, I think, about particularly women. The big one, you know. But you know, young women across the globe, you know, for sure. And really, I want to represent something healthy. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's really important to me. I want them to be able to look at me and say, yeah, like, we know how to do this, or we know how to do that. Like, even, you know, we were talking off air again about things I would post, right? Like sexy bikini shots and stuff like that. And now, I look at them and I think, as much as I enjoy, yeah, to be careful. Yeah, to be careful, because there's young people coming up, you know, after me that are looking at me and thinking, this may be the standard, right? This may be what I need to do in order to get this type of attention or whatever. And that's not it. That's not it. And until they're old enough to be able to understand that, there, you know, there's a difference. You can create your own balance, whatever. We go out to make sure and lead them in the right way.
One of the things that is happening then, certainly in soca music in Trinidad, is, as you just said, this idea of the kind of vixen, a vixen is it only
savage
that we could sell ourselves. Like, it's our biggest artists have to wear a swimsuit to perform, right?
Yeah.
But one of the other biggest artists, a young girl who doesn't, she always has her pants on her shirt kind of stuff, Coffee I'm talking about.
Ben, and she's amazing.
Right? I have that Grammy Award. So the idea of image, I think, is important. And you just noted why you think you probably have to reflect on some of your past images.
As you really do.
In terms of the production that is ongoing here, are they moving the music in a particular genre style? Is it very pop-oriented, R&B-oriented?
I think, you know, we're still figuring it out. I think in these early stages, it's really about the development and working, as I mentioned, with different people and really trying to figure out what that sound really is. So I don't think anybody is necessarily moving it in any direction particularly. We're literally just letting it go and experimenting and exploring. And, you know, we have an idea of what feels good, you know. So at this moment, it's very exciting because it's a whole new, it's a new journey, really, of like self-exploration. No, really free. And I'm excited about it. Like, fortunately too, like, you know, I'm working with people in the US and people here in Trinidad and Tobago, like, you know, people that I consider to be incredible, you know.
Like who? So I know we mentioned Kit Israel before. Yeah. Any other names you could share with us?
Oh god, I don't need that. Well, actually, you know Nola Baines. Through him, he's introduced me to all kind of people. So there's Gordon Chambers. He wrote some like amazing songs. He's a Grammy Award winner for writing. I'll be doing some vocal coaching with him. As well as, it was actually interesting because when I had my first session with him, which was just like a kind of meet and greet, but he gets in there. You know, it's not just about like vocal training. It's really trying to figure out who you are, why you do the things you do. You know, you know that's a really interesting thing. There's so many names. You know, but as I said, it's more about figuring out who I am through this, and having these people on board is really exciting for me, because I think music is showing me a lot about myself and who I really want to be, you know, and I think that's insane. It's super exciting.
It's insane, isn't it? As I said, I think at the beginning of this podcast, I mentioned that you have this beautiful English accent. We're from South London, is that?
Right? I was born in Greenwich.
But then at the same time, every now and then, there's a kind of, I don't want to use the word quote switch, I think that's kind of, But the accent in and out, in terms of your singing voice, I can't remember. Do you sing with a quote-unquote English accent?
I don't even know.
I do work on myself.
That's the truth. I just say, like, I don't even know. Like, I guess it just comes out. Some things, way or something. I mean, like, I don't really know. I think I've heard that people say I sing a lot like UK singers.
So you enunciate the words like an English person?
Yeah, I've heard it. But to be honest, like, I
know, because, you know, you think of Adele and Amy and Sade and these people, they don't particularly hear, quote-unquote, an accent, right?
I mean, that's it.
You hear it with French people or something. I think Celine Dion famously has a French accent. You can't miss something. But that's it. You represent Tobago.
Truly,
through and through. I'm not going to let that go. And to hell with anybody who says otherwise. And you've been able to position yourself, certainly, and this recently in the Trinidad market, as I mean, poor what I'm about to say this, I was one of the better vocalists that I've really come out, right? And I kind of been around, so I know who's who in locally and that kind of stuff. Of course, everybody has a particular hero, let's use that, or heroine or something, so that they look towards in terms of crafting your voice to sound like. You admitted you initially were like thinking of sounding like Alicia Keys or something, so I heard Amy Winehouse. You are kind of there.
Dibble.
And that's what
I appreciate
going forward, right? Is that a part of developing a catalog to go further? And then, so you said you did some writing camps you're doing right now. So are you writing more music? Or?
Yes. Yeah, every day. It's actually like part of my, I'm trying to treat this like, somebody says to me that I have to think about it like I'm an athlete train. So as athletes would train, you know, for however many hours a day, like I'm really trying to incorporate that in my daily schedule and really treat it like a job, you know, but I'm enjoying, it's not that rigid, but so every day I write, every day I'm singing, you know, some days more than some. And I have not attended a writing camp yet, but there will be some coming up. And I look forward to that, as I said, like just working with different people and just seeing.
What about the production side, the business side of the music industry? Are you going to be doing that in terms of workshops, interactions with Nolan Baines and everybody in that milieu? Because I've always heard the horror stories. I think we all know the horror stories about musicians who say, well, I'm just a musician.
Yeah.
And the business side just goes to hell. Is that something that you...
It's probably one of the reasons why the industry, particularly here, is the way it is. But I just wanted to, just to tap back from what you asked me, I was always one of them people, right, that felt like, I just want to sing, and I don't want to do any of the other things, right? And I just want to find somebody I could trust, and you just do it, right? Now it's a little bit different. I am understanding that this is my career, this is my life, right? And I have to make it my business to understand every aspect of the business, like it just is what it is, and that side is heavy. You know, I'm not going to lie, it's heavy, it's a lot. You know, it's learning things literally for the first time. But, and often the things I don't understand at all, but, you know, I'm there and I'm making my notes and I'm, you know, and I'm trying and I really want to, I want to try to make it a little easier too for my management and stuff like that. I want to be involved. I want to be interested. I don't want them to feel like I'm just sitting here waiting on them to bring opportunity to me. I want to be able to say, hey, so, you understand? I understand that this happened.
You too.
When, you know, this is my input or whatever, without obviously take in a way too much of their role, you know, because they're there for a reason and great at what they do. But just kind of being able to contribute to it in a healthy way. And take that responsibility, you know. Some of us are just so lazy. And going back to the new question about the industry, I don't know that much. But, you know, I do have a lot of friends in the music industry, whether it's producers or artists, whatever, writers, regionally. And I just find it's a real kind of lazy approach where, you know, we're literally just waiting for somebody to come along and hand us the opportunity. And especially when it is that we have management or we sign a record deal or whatever, you know, it's like we have this notion that they are our saviors. Yeah, the sana, so they'll be rich. We don't have to do that. You just tell me what time to come. I come, I do what I do, and I leave, you know? And it's just so much deeper than that. And then you'll find that you get tied up, you know, you're now somebody that, or you're in a direction that you didn't want to be in or whatever, but maybe if you paid more attention in the beginning, it may not be that way. But at the same time, it's not a black and white situation. You know, it's a multi-layered, and as I said, there's a lot I don't know, you know, when it
which
comes
you're learning, right?
Industry here. Exactly, which I'm learning. I'm enjoying that process. So it's difficult sometimes to be asked these questions, and I feel like, you know, so much things are expected of me, and I don't know what to think.
Chat.
I can only be honest with what I know right now.
Yeah, no problem. I just want to tap back to something. I've just remembered something about, in terms of asking what the producers are kind of handing you in terms of genres and stuff. What are the genres that you're looking at in terms of where you would like to go musically?
So it really is my ideal, right, genre. It's literally blending. It's like soul. I love, you know, soul music, right? Soul and R&B with Caribbean and African influence, right? And being able to create that sound, yeah, that's where it's at. And so that's what we're working on. That's our direction. I think that's also what I sound like, you know, even though people might say Amy, I don't know, but they say, like, you know, it's someone in the Caribbean too, it's someone in the African, you know. Those are the main genres, trying to put that together, blend that, and make music in that way. And I think it seems obvious, in my opinion, to a lot of producers and stuff that I've met thus far, like they get it. You know, when you say that, and like, yeah, I understand. And they're literally bringing to the table sounds like that. So it doesn't seem, I don't think it's far-fetched or.
Well, I hear what you're saying, and I'm understanding in terms of R&B soul mixed with a little Caribbean flavor. It's been attempted for many years.
Yeah, it's not so new, yeah.
But I'm just thinking, and this is just me just riffing off the top of my head, that, you know, like Beyonce did a whole album of house music. True. And was more recently she tried to dance country. And country music, yeah. I think. Do you want to be that brave to like try some genres or some other genres of like good disco?
Why not? Actually, it was one of the most confusing things for me in the beginning because I love so much. There's so much music that I love, right? All kind of different genres and wanting to do it all, right? So what's really good about now is having a better understanding of what I do best, right? And I think when we come up with that, then I'm able to do a little collab in this direction or a little album, you know, for that, or, you know, absolutely. I mean, I'm working with some house DJs right now, and it's really interesting. Yes, it's a really interesting process. Like, and I think it doesn't, when you do branch off and just do like different things, it doesn't mean that you are now like a house artist or, you know, a country artist or whatever, but you do, I think, have to establish exactly what it is you do best first.
Uh-huh.
And then you're able to kind of, you know, get that fixed. That's how I explain it because, you know, the different music, it gives you different feelings, you know, and I enjoy that. I enjoy being able to.
Got you.
Down a piece of everything.
A little piece of everything.
Yeah.
Caribbean people do anything.
I'm telling you, we like salt.
Yeah. But
everything.
Yeah. I'm aware of how we operate here in the rest of the world, but I know that the American music industry, for example, you know, they kind of hit the formulas, right? You have to do this and this and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, oh God.
And part of our Caribbean spirit, I think, is that, you know, we try everything. Yes, we may seemingly copy everything, but we also try to create our own. Everybody's creating a brand new genre.
True.
In Caribbean music. I mean, some sub-genre or sub-genre. True. Kind of something. But that kind of spirit of adventure, I think, is so critical for how our artists engage with the rest of the world.
I agree.
Right? So the idea of adventure, I think, is something I'm looking forward from you, I should say. As much as the same time, I'm looking forward to some great productions. Right? How long have you wanted the process? Well, I watch it, I ain't gonna lie to you. In terms of your career.
Just to be accurate.
I don't want to worry too much when I say, because it's bad thing, man. But in terms of, do you have a timeline in terms of where you think you want to go? Or is this a career that you've... Because how long have you been singing there? I forgot to ask that question off the top. How long have you been singing professionally?
Not long. I've been in and out. Maybe I started about... 15 years ago, 12 or 15 years ago. Sorry?
And your voice sounds like this. Yeah, so that's what your voice sounds like.
Yeah. I mean, I guess. it was just a growing thing. But I started a long, like quite some time ago, but it was in and out. But I think it's only been in the last like 6-7 months where I've made up, I've decided, yes, this is what I want. This is what I'm doing. And to go back to what you were saying, I think there has to be a balance, right, of being adventurous, which I'm a huge advocate for, but you have to have some structure. So yes, there will be time frames to get things done. But there's allowances for freeing up and being able to create. But of course, there has to be a cap on it. So October is what we're potentially looking at for the EP to be on its way to finish and possibly released in the first quarter of next year. And it's going to take a little bit of time, but we need to work on the music. You know, it's one thing doing a bunch of shows, and I think getting new reps in is very important. Even stuff like this, you know, doing interviews and different things, like the more you do them, the easier it becomes. But at the same time, the core thing is the music, and you have to spend time working on that. You can't avoid that. You can't just... write the name and say, okay, well, we catch our little thing here, we're a little popular here, let's just release this, let's, just whatever, it doesn't matter, it does matter.
Back with, yeah.
Yes, you have to be mindful of that and take your time with it.
Got you. Well, you said hopefully by October, EP should be produced by October, but for a potential release in the first quarter of 2025. It's something to look forward to. As I said, we've been hearing you we've been hearing you performing for a number of years. Sorry, number of months, I should say. But, and you do have some material online because I did check you on Spotify.
Well, remember I said I've been in and out, right? Mm-hmm. So over the years, I did tango with Walshy Fire. Mm-hmm. He released a rhythm, Coco T. What did people on the rhythm? And he reached out and I did a thing. Ooh. Yeah. Baby, if you need me, you don't have to study now.
Did he hear about you?
I met a guy from Antigua, Just Butt. And I think I met him through Jack Hure. Jack Hure and I were working on some stuff way back when. You know, it didn't materialize, but I had met Just Butt virtually only through that situation. And then he had spoken to Walshy Fire about me, and Walshy reached out, and pretty much from day dot, like, he has just been one of those core supporters, like, has been really amazing, actually, for me. And so, yeah, so I did, he had reached out to me about working on that rhythm, which I did. It was called I Never Knew on YouTube. And after that, I think my time frame is a little bit blurry, but I also used to work with, well, still do, with First Class. I worked on his first album, as well as through him, we did a couple songs for a Korean DJ, DJ Soda, and some writers flew in, Grady, Creole Man, Slaz and myself, and we worked on, it was one song that made the cut.
I'm sure you'll get it all the time. It's so easy reading all their minds. Lost it beneath a little kind. Is the reason we're both here tonight. Don't be holding back on me. 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 Don't be holding back on me.
So yeah, there's a few things, you know, I mean, I was in a note, I was doing things, but I was never really sure. You know, and maybe just didn't have the right situation, you know, I maybe wasn't ready, you know.
I was going to ask you, how are you sure now? Because it seems you've gone through this process before.
Yeah, fear really had a big part to play over the years. And I think I just decided I wasn't going through that no more, boy, Nigel, boy. So like, I, you know, it's just really governed so much of my life, fear. You know what I mean? Like, and even, like, it's such a triumph for me to, for the jazz show, right? To walk on stage. So I would usually, so the one in November, I showcase. My lips are trembling. I'm clenching onto my dress. I'm cold sweating. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to get through this. I just want this to be over. I'm not enjoying the process. I'm over. In my head, you know, I just want to get it over and done with. For the jazz show, however, I was feeling it there. Like, I was dancing, you know, and I made mistakes, but that was okay. Like, I'm no longer fearful of that. I'm really getting used to the idea of just being myself openly, you know, and honestly. It's okay.
And so I think fear for sure was one of the main things over the years, and I've just come to a place where I'm not, I'm excited to see who I am without that, or at least excited to use it in a positive manner. Like, I don't think, you know, those feelings never go away.
They won't, like, trust me. I know.
But it's just changing the narrative, you know, and not allowing it to.
One of the things that I've, as I said, that first performance in November at the ODOS Confirm Showcase.
It was.
I was standing next to Will Gitton's sister,
Nikki.
As
she's amazing.
Yeah, we were listening to you perform. As soon as you opened your mouth, we were like, God, who's this person? I never heard of you. And I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, this woman got sent. Who's this person? And she got ahead. She whispered to me, and she was going to say that, oh, she's so nervous. You believe this woman? And I remember thinking, okay, you sat now. You didn't really move her up, per se. You were sitting on a stool.
Yeah.
But putting on a performance that you could hear it. I think humans have this potential to objectively know good from bad. I always say that. As much as we have this whole subjective thing that she's good, better, and best, we know good and we know bad. Right? So as soon as we heard it, said, nah, who is this person? She could really sing well. And we heard it, and I think you mentioned that, how you were so nervous, and you just said it again, and we were looking for you as you came off stage, and we couldn't find you on the side of your backstage.
Yeah, well, it's freaking out.
We freaking out there, I think. But you have a presence that's undeniable. We heard it, audiences know it, and we hear it. And as you said, by the time we got to Tobago, Mark, last month, you were like a pro. And how many performances did you do between November and April?
One.
What?
Yeah, I had a, we did a little jam session at Half Moon Blue, which is Backlight Beach Club, essentially.
Yeah.
That went really well.
Was it a large audience or just?
No, it was mainly my family. but again, it goes back to what I was saying, right, about the reps. There is a lot of importance on doing this thing regular, you know, and yeah, being more familiar with the stage and just knowing what to expect. Actually, I had you did the jazz act, sorry, remind me, in the East. No, what was it called the other day? You had something to do with this? The jazz
I had
in
some.
The East.
It's called Jazz Artists and the Greats.
That's the one. And so Kyle Peters, who is one of, he's my guitarist, incredible musician. He had something to do with the sound engineering aspect, I think, on the show. And so
part of the production team, yeah.
Right. So I was actually able to have a rehearsal act on that stage to help them. Yeah, to help them. Whatever the technical
rules. This is the first time I know what this thing is.
No, yeah. That's what happened without you looking. But because they wanted to prepare the song, for the people coming in the next day to sound check. So he was like, yo, this could be a good opportunity. Come. We could do our rehearsal. Because I flew here for rehearsals. So he was like, you know, perfect opportunity, blah, blah, blah. And that really helped me, Nigel, because I've never been on a stage like that. So I was able to just kind of, it sounds really silly, right? But just to understand, you know, where the monitors are, how that works, like what does what, and like, you know, like silly things. And I think being familiar really helps to calm the soul, you know, like.
You're telling me this story, and I'm just thinking of myself, that evening, because I think it was after Thursday, probably talking about.
It was a Thursday, Friday, I think, Friday night.
Yeah, this is right. Yeah. Sorry. And I was coming up here and I said, nah, because I had to deal with some artists in Port of Spain. And I said, let me deal with that instead.
But you missed out on a wonderful show.
This is what I've discovered now.
You're dead.
And I'm just thinking, go and see her live, because this is one of these kind of things that happens quite often. That it's, I could give you a little story, and synopsis here in the Caribbean, that we have a number of artists. Full disclosure, ladies and gentlemen, I wrote a profile of three Caribbean songwriters, and Kai was one of them. So I'm aware of who sings and who doesn't sing, certainly from a Caribbean perspective. The famous line, there's a lot of talent here.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of getting the exposure and that kind of thing.
And so suppose, I mean, you said earlier, right, that collectively the numbers are quite small, 46 million or whatever. Yeah. But really and truly, that is a huge say. Mm-hmm. That is enough. And if we really decide to support one another,
mm-hmm.
You know, possibilities are endless.
That idea of communal support, I think, is so, so important. And it expands beyond just working here in the Caribbean, but working globally.
Yeah,
so
of course.
Our diaspora becomes an important part of who we
are. Exactly. Right. Collectively, we have a huge say, in fact.
Yeah.
You know?
I did this may be a slightly off topic, but I just wanted to remember this. I know that it's because jazz is my thing. There's a kind of brand new generation of jazz musicians out of England.
Yeah.
Two names that pop in my head is Nubia Garcia and Fionn Cross. And Nubia's father's from Trinidad, the mother's from Guyana, or vice versa. Trinidad, definitely. Mother, father kind of stuff. Fionn Cross, I think, has St. Lucian, Jamaican parentage kind of stuff. But the idea that these new creatives are happening in England and they're creating a brand new jazz, right? That they've merging with hip-hop and Afrobeats and dub and all that.
Oh, that felt so cool.
It's because they recognize that that's the music was playing in their parents' household.
True.
Right? But they said, well, we don't want to play that. We want to go in a new direction. So I'm keen to understand this.
And combine them all. It's always sound.
Which is what is happening, right? So I know that England is a space of Europe. Well, England is Brexit, post-Brexit.
Mm-hmm.
That across the pond is a space for some kind of particular audience. But I think our diaspora, certainly in the United States and North America generally, have a say, because one of the things I also discovered is that in terms of the numbers may not be in the hundreds of millions, but there's some populations in the Caribbean who live in the diaspora that are larger than the native populations.
Yes.
So these kind of things, there's a kind of almost like a responsibility, I would say, for artists to recognize the diaspora, to be able to work out the diaspora kind of stuff. The idea of the collective, as you said, I think is so, so important, and it's part and parcel of how we operate. And what we recognize is our role in the world. We're not, this is how we come. We're, by nature, in a sense, very migratory. A lot of people come, born in the Caribbean and migrate.
Mm-hmm.
Some come back, some, there's this kind of concept back and forth. But in terms of, we pick up influences, we influence them at the same time. And I think you're part and parcel of that, well, modern generation, of that continuing generation of Caribbean.
Absolutely.
Souls who go out there and make a name for yourself. So although you're born in Greenwich, Tobago, man.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And you have something to say. And I really hope that in terms of what happens via the production and the distribution and the work of Nolan Blaines and his team that's put in before this EP by October, that we hear a lot more from you. And certainly do some more performances in Trinidad.
Yeah, I plan on actually as many as possible. I really enjoy it. It's like a newfound thing for me as well. I've only really had experience in studio.
Mm-hmm.
And so in November, the Odos Showcase was the first time I ever performed with a band, you know, and realized that.
The first time you performed in a band.
And I actually met them that week. And wow. It's a newfound love. Like, I just love it. I love it. I love it. Like, it's so exciting. And so, yeah, like, I really look forward to performing as much as possible, to be honest.
We'll see you very soon. Don't worry about that. Happy for listeners to get to know you, get to understand what it is to be a modern Caribbean. Caribbean has its multiple layers and flavors. And
absolutely.
We're everything at the same time.
Everything.
And we may look one way, we're in that too. We sound one way, we're in that too.
We're in that too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We're very malleable and we're very absorbent and we're also very influential. And I'm happy that...
We need to own it. We need to own it.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do. We absolutely need to own it. And I think as well, like, I have to say thank you. People like yourself that have showed interest or that continues to show interest in people like myself, new talent, you know, keeping up to the times of what people are doing and, you know, things, the platforms like this podcast, like the article, you know, I think those things are easily overlooked. Mm-hmm. But it's people like yourself as well that you're contributing to keeping this thing alive, you know, and I really thank you because the support is undeniable. And you're also helping to put me in the room.
I want you to work for me all the time.
But it is the truth, you know, and it's important to celebrate that. Very important.
We have a responsibility to document our space in the world. Those who can document and those who can sing and perform and dance, that they continue doing that and shining a light on what we represent here and what our potential is. We're not just waiters serving a pina colada as well.
Absolutely, exactly. Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So creative people, and we have major influence in terms of all aspects of life, in terms of activism and social,
that's it.
Social life as well.
But it's created the opportunity as well. Right? Like, and unfortunately, I think...
We're in a loud coffee shop. Like,
yes,
sorry.
Do what? It's important, like for myself, I look forward to going out there, you understand, and bringing back opportunity because, yes, like, you know, we're so colorful, you know, we're not one spiritual at all, we're in everything, as we were just saying, but is the opportunity. I think, yeah, I really look forward to going wherever, you know, and then being able to come back eventually, hopefully, to really be able to create opportunity. I think that's one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about Tobago.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am Nigel Campbell. I'm speaking to Kai Duvier, soon-to-be superstar.
Thank you for having me, Nigel.
Producing it in October, dropping sometime in the early part of 2025.
Yeah, look out for it.
With a voice that is reminiscent of some, but uniquely hers.
Thank you, Nigel. I really appreciate this. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All the best. You'll be listening to Island Music Chat, produced by iRadio.tv.